You know, Pythagoras probably walked on this very beach. And if he were here today, he would be amazed at how much mathematical science has learned about the universe. Even a century ago, we didn't know if there were two galaxies in the entire universe.
Now we know there are 100 billion, maybe even a trillion galaxies. What is the creativity that brought forth a trillion galaxies?
That's from the beginning of a new book and film project, Journey of the Universe. In it, cosmologist Brian Swim and religious scholar Mary Evelyn Tucker explore the creativity of the universe itself. They describe our universe as not simply a place but a story, with a beginning, a middle, which we're now in, and perhaps an end in the very distant future. As Swim told Steve Paulson, it's a story that keeps changing.
At one time we thought, you know, matter was made up of these tiny particles of unchanging bits of matter called atoms. And then we looked into them more carefully and we found out that each atom is this amazing blur of activity. So in a similar way, we realized that everything in the universe actually has a story of its coming into being. I mean, the trees and the houses and the continents, the oceans, everything has a story of how it emerged. You look at a rock, it looks so solid, it's just so secure, just always the same. And we go down to it at the quantum level. It's just, like I say, it's this dancing blur of activity. But also, the rock itself is in the midst of its own story, its own drama. You go back far enough and it was molten. You go back before that and it was part of the stars. So it's an incredible discovery.
Now, Mary Evelyn, in your book, you describe this as a creative universe. And again, this is a word that we don't tend to associate with inorganic matter. In what way can we talk about this as creative?
That sensibility of creativity, we often associate only with the human. But the sense that galaxies have emerged and that they have different forms, spiral and elliptical and so on, there's a creativity going on there. Stars have a creativity. And when they explode and go supernova, all these elements go out into the universe and eventually form the carbon-based life here on the planet. So creativity and self-organizing dynamics are two aspects of these processes that we're still trying to understand.
It's so interesting to hear you say that because creativity is a word that I associate with as unexpected things happen, whereas I guess my old conception of the universe is that it was deterministic. I mean, if you could figure out all the physical laws back to day one, you could kind of predict what was going to happen. Are you saying that's not true?
Exactly. Creativity has the unexpected, the spontaneous, the unformed. And creativity, I think, is almost by its nature not deterministic, not necessarily predictive. Of course, these processes have elements which we can understand, laws of physics and laws of geology. And this is what science is studying constantly. What are these laws that we can see these processes emerging?
But are you saying that we don't actually live in a deterministic universe? You know, one thing follows from the last thing necessarily, that unexpected things happen? I mean, going back to the early years of the universe?
Yeah, that's right. We don't live in a deterministic universe. I mean, that's the great discovery of quantum physics. No one expected this. You look at the simplest little thing in the atomic world, like the hydrogen atom. It consists of a proton and an electron. And so the electron moves from one orbital to another orbital. And we don't know when it's going to move. We don't. What we would like in the old classical view of physics, we would like the equation that would enable us to predict how the atom would change. And now the widespread belief among physicists is that we will never have that. What that means then is that at the level of the simplest structure, like the hydrogen atom, there is a spontaneity. There is this unpredictability in its activity, its behavior. If we have a large group of hydrogen atoms, we can say things that are highly, highly likely to happen. But the level of the individual hydrogen atom, we are unable to predict how it's going to behave.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of the story. Now, we don't know what happened in the first moment of the Big Bang, but let's skip ahead a little bit after that. You say that there were powerful primal forces that were vying against each other, really, from the very beginning. There was contraction, gravity, but there was also an opposing force that pushed outward towards expansion. What was going on?
Just imagine you have a moment when you have this vast cloud of hydrogen and helium atoms. They are drawn together by gravitational attraction, and yet they're part of a whole system that is expanding. I'm going back to your discussion of creativity. If we are looking at that cloud, we can become certain that it is entering into a phase where the birth of stars is likely, but we do not know exactly which stars will come forth, because there's the system itself goes into a phase where it's not possible to predict the future. And so even slight changes can lead to what would emerge as a supergiant, a star, or a small red dwarf. So that right in that critical transition from an atomic world into a world of stars, we have another aspect of the creativity of the universe.
Well, I mean, another thing that's fascinating is that I guess I'd always assumed that atoms had always been around. I mean, from the very beginning, that's actually not true. It was quite yeah. some time before atoms, the first atoms, were formed.
Yeah, that's, isn't it great? I mean, just you think of atoms as being, they're just the same old thing. They've always been here. No, they're an immense creative moment. For hundreds of thousands of years, all we had in the universe were these elementary particles and a couple of their pairings together. There were no atoms. And then this moment comes, something like 400,000 years after the beginning of the universe, when suddenly atoms form. We think of atoms as being small, but at the level of scale of an elementary particle, atoms are like these vast cathedrals. You have a universe with these particles interacting. That seems like a good universe. And then suddenly, just very, very quickly, all of these cathedrals come rushing forth into existence. And those are the primal atoms, like I say, hydrogen, helium, and lithium. And then for a long period of time, that's it. And then we have another amazing moment when the stars come forth and they construct the rest of the atoms in their own processes. Our bodies are composed of hydrogen and carbon and nitrogen. All of them have a story. And that story goes back into the story of the stars and back further into the actual story of the birth of the universe.
Are our bodies literally made of stardust?
Literally made of stardust.
So exploding stars eons ago, that stuff that happened way back when, that is what's in us right now.
Yeah. Take it one step further. So we're loaded with carbon atoms. We have no understanding of a way carbon can be created unless you have an exploding star. I mean, it's just such a stunning realization. Carbon atoms require an entire star for their manufacture, for their construction, for their creation. And then the stars themselves, they require a galaxy to come forth. So
So you have a galaxy before you have a star?
Yeah, they come forth kind of together. Our galaxy consists of 100 billion stars. So the galaxy is the way in which the stars come forth and organize themselves. And then the stars are the ways in which the elements are actually created, like carbon. So that all of the carbon atoms in our body literally were constructed in stars and then were dispersed into the Milky Way galaxy through explosions.
Now, I have to say, the way you write about stars in your book is really kind of fascinating. You say the star exists not in a world of stasis, but in a realm of seething disequilibrium. And you go on to say stars are fiery cauldrons of transformation. Stars are wombs of immense creativity. That's not the way I've always thought about stars.
Yeah, so that just a few thousand years ago, humans thought of stars as eternal. We didn't know that stars had a life cycle. They're actually born, they develop, they die. And then it wasn't until just recently, I mean, the middle of the 20th century, that we understood what was going on inside of stars. We knew that they were emanating this light, but we didn't know how. And the great discovery is that they generate this light by transforming the atoms, by fusing atoms together. It's an amazing discovery about the nature of the universe. And now that we know the scientific details, how can we understand them? See, science itself needs help to understand the majesty of what is discovered. Now, for instance, the fiery cauldron, that image, speaking about a star, comes from the Chinese tradition. So we were bringing in the deep reflections on creativity, on cosmos from China. And Mary Evelyn came up with that phrase, and I just love it.
Hmm. The sensibilities of many cultures around the world, especially East Asia, have been deeply infused with the creative, ongoing, dynamic processes of nature and the cosmos as a whole. And so that fiery cauldron of creativity is at the heart of Confucian and Taoist understanding of the universe.
Hmm. Well, I'm struck by the language that you use in this book because it's not the usual kind of language you find in a science book. For instance, you talk about transformation, and we've already talked about creativity. Was that part of your project here to sort of bring in the language of art, of the humanities, of even religion into the story of science?
Absolutely. See, the way in which we scientists would talk about a star, we'd say, well, it's a ball of gas. I mean, it literally is a ball of gas, so that's true. But you see, that's only one dimension of what's going on. So we consciously brought in the insights from the humanities around the planet as a way of exploring these great discoveries. We've just discovered the emergence of a 14-billion-year creative event that we call the universe. What's the meaning for our lives?
Well, let me pursue that, because it's not obvious what the meaning is here. I mean, it's fascinating to hear you talk about that, but still, meaning and purpose seem to be words that we humans have constructed to try to make sense of our lives. But are those words somehow connected to this scientific story you've been describing?
In fact, that's what this project is trying to do. It generate a dialogue and certainly move it in the direction of meaning and purpose and so on. Because we live in a schizophrenic world, frankly. The science is over there, the humanities over here, and religious studies way over there. So let's sit down and not put meaning on the sidelines. Now, we're not trying to say this is all purpose-driven. The word is teleology that a lot of people use. And we're not trying to imprint this story with here's God, here's the divine. No, it's trying to say, let's look at this with new eyes, fresh eyes, and say, how does the human come out of these processes? The stars are our ancestors, and we've been birthed from these processes. We participate in them. We respond to them with awe and wonder as we discover more of their complexity. And this awakens in us a new sense of meaning, of our role, of our purpose. If we're rooted in these processes, a new kind of connectedness, even love emerges. We're embraced by these processes. Wow. So meaning and purpose is very much a part of what we're trying to do.
Mary Evelyn Tucker and Brian Swim are the authors of Journey of the Universe, which is both a book and a documentary film. Steve Paulson spoke with them.